Hi, darling. You're going to come down and join us for a little while? I want you to go and meet somebody. Come on, Eva.
Hello.
This is Dan.
Hello.
Hi,
nice. Okay. Right, so it's Parshat Yitro, and obviously a prominent aspect of the Parsha is the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments. And so we have Vayedav Elokim, here we have the beginning of the Aseret HaDibrot. I think Akira is coming down. So we have the Aseret HaDibrot.
Sorry.
Okay. So we're looking at. Are we going to vote for Ashkenazi or Sephardi?
Ashkenazi.
Dad, you don't understand English.
Would you be able to follow in Ashkenazi?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The Ashkenazi pronunciation.
Of what?
Of the Hebrew.
Oh, if I would be able to follow, I'll try.
In the Lubavitch, is it generally the Ashkenazi or Sephardi?
Depends where.
In Israel, it's Sephardi.
Yeah.
I think that the Lubavitch, like, throughout, so pronounce everything in the Sephardi way.
Yeah, mostly.
So, in this conception.
Okay. Right, okay, so we're looking at the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments. And there is a whole introduction to this, with Hashem telling Moshe going up the mountain, and Hashem telling Moshe that the Jewish people are going to be Mamlechet Kohanim, Mamleches Kohanim, a kingdom of Kohanim, V'goy Kadosh, a holy nation. And Sforno actually speaks about the way in which the Jewish people will be the Kohanim, the priests for the world. The same way that the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash, in the temple, they connect the Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, to Hashem, so also the Jewish people will connect everyone to God through the fact of the temple and the Torah, the seven Noahide laws for the whole world. But at the center is the relationship of the Jewish people with Hashem. And so here we have the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments. Vayedaber Elokim et kol hadvarim ha'ele lemo. Hashem said all these words, saying, which is when we hear this in the Beit HaKnesset, everyone stands up. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem your God. Asher tzitzicho me'eretz Mitzrayim, who took you out of the land of Egypt, mebeis abonim, from the house of slaves. Lo yiyeh lecha elokim acherim al panai, you should not have any other gods before me. And it goes on to speak about not making idols, and then it continues about the others of the Aseret HaDibrot, of the Ten Commandments, and going through the list. So this discourse, we are going to be exploring a Maimah Chassidus, a Chassidic discourse, which was said on Erev Chag HaShavuot, Erev Chag HaShavuot in 1989, Tavshin Memtet, which is 20 years ago, except that now it's not Shavuot, so it's just under, a few months less than 20 years ago. And it goes on the words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Hashem your God. And we're going to try and get into this spiritual exploration of the whole and the whole concept of the giving of the Torah. So in order to try to enter that, we will begin with the Maimon Nigun, and then hopefully we will be a little bit more receptive to be able to hear the words of the Maimon. Oy yam ba yam ba yum ba bum, Ha yira yira yom ba yom. Ha yam ba yam ba ya yam ba yom. Ha yiram ba ya yam ba yom. Aho ya yiram ba yam ba yom. Ha yiram ba yam ba yom. Ha-yir-ramba, ha-yir-ramba, ho, yamba, yamba, yam-bam-bam, ho-ya-yamba, yam-bam-yam, ho-yamba, ho-yam-bam-bam. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. Hashem Yitzicho me'eretz Mitzrayim, who took you out of the land of Egypt. The pasuk there, this pasuk, Hu Dibur HaRishon is the first statement, the Aseres HaDibros of the Ten Commandments, Shenitnu B'Matan Torah, which were given at the giving of the Torah, B'Vav Sivan. It's on the back of the page with the Chumash. No, you have, it's printed double-sided. So that we'll look at later, that other page. You want to turn to the page with the Chumash, and then on the reverse of that page.
Thank you.
Now, this pasuk is the first dibur, it's the first command of the Ten Commandments which were given at Matan Torah, Bevov Sivan, on the 6th of Sivan. La'acharei shehigdimu Yisrael nase lenishma. After what happened earlier, the Jews said, nase lenishma. We will do and we will hear. And they put we will do first. And that was a very remarkable thing. Let's miss out the brackets. B'chamishi b'sivan, that was on the 5th of Sivan. So you've got the idea of the Jewish people on the 5th of Sivan saying, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do, and later on we will hear. We will, you give us the law, we will carry it out. Later on, we will understand it. But first of all, we commit ourselves, Hashem, that whatever you tell us to do, we're going to do. Now, umuva b'chama drushim, it's brought in a number of discourses, the Rabbaseinu Nesiyenu of previous Lubavitch Rebbeim, and Hashaila, the question, Hayidua digdolei Yisrael, a question which is asked of great by great scholars previously, for example, Ibn Ezra mentions it, and others. Haribriyat shamayim ba'aretz, the creation of heaven and earth. Hu pele gadol yoseh miyetzias Mitzrayim. Surely, creation of heaven and earth is a greater wonder than going out of Egypt, God taking us out of Egypt. You see, it says at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt. Wouldn't it have been more suitable to say, I am Hashem, your God, who created heaven and earth? Right? That's the question. Why is creation of heaven and earth greater than going out of Egypt, taking us out of Egypt? The Biyatziyat Mitzrayim, because in taking the Jews out of Egypt, Avsha Hayu Kamanisim, even though there were many miracles, Hare Nosef Lezeh, in addition to the fact, She'ein Zeh Biyum Aspik Al Zeh She'omer, even the fact that there were many miracles then, that doesn't really explain why it should say, Asher Tzitzicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim Dafka, that it should specifically give this as the identification of God. Mikivin shegam kodem yitzias Mitzrayim, because before the going out of Egypt, v'chein la'achadei yitzias Mitzrayim, and after going out of Egypt, hayu kama v'chama nisim, there were many other miracles. So there were miracles all the time. Hine inyan anes, hu shinui miyesh liyesh. Now apart from that, what is a miracle? A miracle is taking something which already exists and changing it. So the sea was there, the Red Sea, the whole idea of Kriyat Yam, so splitting the sea, so there's the sea, and so God split the sea, so that was a tremendous miracle. But the sea was there beforehand, it's changing it from one thing to another, and instead of the sea flowing this way, it was split in two, and there was a path through it. But Briyat Shemaim Ba'aretz, creation of heaven and earth, Hu Yesh Me'ayim, that's something coming from nothing. So surely that is a greater, if you're going to talk about the miraculous power of God, creation of heaven and earth should be higher up on the scale. V'nosaf lezeh shebriya yesh me'ayin hu pele gadol yotzer, in addition to the idea that creating something from nothing is more wondrous, it's a greater pele, it's a greater remarkable thing. Hine gam koach eloki shebebriya, the divine power which is in creation, yesh me'ayin, creating something from nothing, hu koach nalek biyoter yoter, it's a more exalted kind of quality than the power which makes a miracle. Ki yudua shebriya yesh me'ayin hu rak b'koach ha'atzmut, to be able to create something from nothing, that is something which comes from the very essence of Hashem. Shemitziyoto me'atzmuto, that the existence of God is from His essence. So the very essence of God is that which is able to create physical existence. And so that is something absolutely remarkable. And so in Kabbalistic thinking, when it talks about different levels of existence and different levels of godliness, you come down, 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 but the fact of being able to create a physical world that we are in, this comes from Koach Atzmut, from a very exalted level. And there's an interesting passage in the brackets here, which is a very interesting idea which distinguishes Jewish thought from, lahavdil, other systems of mystical or spiritual thinking. So let's just see what it says in the brackets. V'yesh lomar, one can suggest, d'zeh shahamatzius d'yesh hanivra, the fact that there is something physically existing which has been created, he metzius amitis, it's a genuine existence. Now, that idea that it's a genuine existence, the world we are in is genuine, it's not an illusion. There are ways of seeing the world where the world is thought of as an illusion. And we are stuck in the illusion, and then comes the whole question, how are we going to relate to this illusory world? But in Jewish teaching, the world is real. We're in a world which is real. It's true that the reality of the physical world compared to the reality of Hashem is, it doesn't have the same level of reality, and ultimately God is the only ultimate true reality. But nonetheless, on the level of world, the world is real. Look at footnote 9. Re'ei Baruchah Sefer Ma'amarim Tavchesh Kavtes, see at length a book of discourses from 1869, and he gives a page number. Sha'olam hu metziut v'lo dimyon, the world exists and it's not imaginary. That the idea that the world truly exists, I'm not sure whether that's always positive, but I think that the concept that we're in a real situation is something very important in Jewish thinking. I mean, there's a sense in which you can always put your hand over your eyes and say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, there's only God, and you woof, you know, like there's no world. Hi, laddie. There's no world. And that's Ein Od Milvado, there's nothing apart from God. But when we're dealing with the world is actually a vessel to reveal godliness. And in as much as that's the case, the world is real. And what it's explaining here is the reason why the world is real, hu mipneshit havuto himatzmut yesh amiti, because the coming into existence of the world comes from the essence of God, from ultimate reality. So, in other words, creation is something phenomenal. Creation is a remarkable thing. So why does the Torah say, not I'm God who created the world, but I'm God who brought you out of the land of Egypt? V'lechora havalei lemeima asher barati shemayim v'aretz. One could ask the question, why doesn't it say that I am God who created heaven and earth? And then it would go on and say, you shouldn't have any other gods, and you shouldn't take my name in vain, and you should keep the Shabbat, and so on, all the other Ten Commandments. Now, so that is an old question, which is, it's cited in earlier discourses of Chabad, and it goes back to earlier sages as well, such as Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra, who lived in Spain and wrote a perush on the Chumash and the Tanakh, and is a very interesting figure. Okay, bet, paragraph bet. V'yesh lo'osef, one can add, d'zeh shelechora havalei lemeima asher barati shemayim v'aretz, the idea that it should have said that I am God asher parosi shemayim v'aretz, that created heaven and earth, who gam lefi, is also because shebriya shemayim v'aretz, the creation of heaven and earth on the one hand, umatn Torah, and the giving of the Torah on the other, because these words that we're looking at, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, these words, I am Hashem your God, hu apsicha, the matn Torah, is the introduction of matn Torah, the giving of the Torah. So we got the idea that the creation of heaven and earth and the giving of the Torah, shayachim zeh lazeh, they relate to each other. Now, here follows a very interesting idea, which is partly the reason why I chose to learn this particular maima tonight, this particular discourse, because I find this a very, very interesting and intriguing idea, and we're going to try to understand it together. Let's see it in the wording. What it's going to say is that existence, creation, is a continual process. See, on the one hand, you could say, when did God create the world? 5,769 years ago. Okay. But on the other hand, creation is a continual process. God is all the time creating the world. There is a continuous flow of energy flowing into the world in order to give it existence. Now, this is the theme of the second section of Tanya, called Shah HaYichud V'Emunah, the Gate of Unity and Faith. And right in the first chapter there, it explains a teaching in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, even though the Midrash says something similar, that when Hashem said, let there be something, those words, let there be, they are all the time making that thing exist. So it's not just that the world was created however long ago. It's that's when it began to exist, and there's a continuous energy flowing into the world, excuse me, making it exist. And one of the metaphors that's used for this is like the light from the light bulb. Mm. Now imagine that the light which is shining from the light bulb is like the world, it's like creation, it's like the whole universe. Now the light there is only shining because there's electricity flowing. And if you turn off the switch, you stop the electricity and the light disappears. Mm. So in the same way, the energy from God, which is flowing into the universe, is keeping the universe in existence. And we are here sitting in the universe. We're sitting in this patch of world, which is being kept in existence by a continuous flow of energy from Hashem. But this is, it's not a separate existence. It's something which is relying on the nature, on godliness. As in fact the Rambam writes in an intriguing way. The Rambam writes at the beginning of his Yad HaChazakah, of his Mishneh Torah, his big book of Halakha, which is in 14 parts, and that's why it's called Yad HaChazakah, Yud Dalet, it's 14, the strong hand. In that book, it begins that the Yesod HaYesodos, the basic foundation of foundations and the pillar of wisdom, is to know that Hashem exists. And he goes on to say that you could imagine Hashem without the world. That there's only Hashem and there's no world. But you can't imagine the world without Hashem. Because the world needs Hashem in order to exist. So if you took away the factor of Hashem, you wouldn't be able to conceive of the world. That's how the Rambam presents it. So if you took away the electric current, there's no light coming from the lamp. There's the light doesn't come. Because the electric current is making the light shine. So if you take away the electric current, there's no light. So in the same way, it's the divine energy which is making the world exist. Now in Chabad Hasidic thought, maybe in general Kabbalistic thought, this is, this is like a central idea. It's central to the idea of Hidbonanut, of contemplating before davening, that a person thinks deeply and looks around them at the what is around them, whether in the women's part of the shul or the men's part of the shul, or at home or in the garden or in a wood, in the forest, wherever one is choosing to hitpalel, to daven. And one sees how in every leaf and every branch and every rock there is a divine life force, depending how the shul is decorated. You might have a very creatively modern shul, with nice stream branches, and, just to help the atmosphere. And so the person thinking that there is a divine life force in everything can become a little bit more inspired and feel close to Hashem. And then when they daven and they say, "Vahafta et Hashem Elokecha," you should love the Lord your God with all their heart, with all your heart. They really feel it. They really feel this love. Now here, this idea, which is, centrally significant in Chabad thinking, is being connected in a very interesting way to another aspect of life and of Judaism, which is the giving of the Torah. And he's going to say that the same way that creation is continuous, the giving of Torah is continuous. And which is an interesting idea we're going to try to explore. The Briyat Shamayim Va'aretz, we're on the third line in base, fourth word along. The Briyat Shamayim Va'aretz, the creation of heaven and of earth, Mishadesh Es B'chol Rega V'rega, is renewed every moment. Ketoris HaBal Shem Tov Ala Pasuk, like the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, on the verse, La'olam Hashem Dvorcha Nitzav B'Shamayim, forever Hashem, your word stands in the heavens, Huva B'Sefer Tanya Kadisha, which is quoted in Tanya, Shekoyach Eloki, that the divine power, Mahavet Tamid Es HaNivra Me'ayin Liyesh, is all the time keeping in existence the created thing from nothing to something. So there is a divine flow of energy making everything exist. Umikivun shabriya v'eshavos yesh ma'ayin. Since the creation, the coming into existence of something from nothing, he b'koyach ha'atzmos is with the power of the essence of the divine. You see, there's this concept, atzmos, because there is the idea of different levels of the divine. So there's the essence of Ein Sof, of the infinite, and then one has, as it were, like different levels down, which are the Sfirot, and then at a much lower, this is giving energy to create the world, or so there is a flow from the essence coming down, and we could say, over here is the world, and there's like a flow of energy which is flowing down, but it comes from the very essence. In order for there to be a world, it's from the very essence. Moving to Habriya Shabachol Rega Rega, it's understood that the creation at every single moment, he yesh ma'ayin, is a quality of creation of something from nothing, mamash me'atmos, really from the essence. So this itself is an interesting statement, because normally we understand the coming into existence of the world as being a product of all these stages going further and further down. However, in order for there to be a physical world which conceals godliness, and where it's really something has emerged, as it were, a physical thing, that needs the power of the essence as well. It's not enough just this is also divine energy flowing down. And it's understood as being reduced. As it goes down, it becomes less and lesser levels. But it would only flow down to become more and more concealed godliness. How does it become, instead of godliness, there should be a stool over here, there should be a chair? How does a physical chair get there? That is because of another dimension of divine radiance. So it's very interesting that it's like two types of divine radiance which coincide together, and that creates our physical world. Now, sometimes it's explained in that way. One is the radiance which fills the world, mamaleh kol almin. Some is the radiance which transcends the world, sovev kol almin. And the two coming together creates the physical world. However, the way it's explaining it here, slightly differently, is that the creation of the physical world comes from the essence, from atzmut, from the very essence. So in other words, the very essence of godliness is there, present in every physical thing around us. And there we are, close to the essence. There's a certain sense in which this is cutting through a chain of relationships that the Kabbalah constructs to a kind of Hasidic immediacy and connection with the essence, which is a particularly Hasidic twist to the whole image. Now, so that is about existence, that's about the world. But we now come to another point. Three lines up, middle of the line, Val derech zehu b'Torah, and it's in the same way with the Torah. And he gives in footnote 13, gives various sources, a book of discourses of 1919 and of 19. That means by the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe. And a book of discourses by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok, the sixth Rebbe, the idea that the fact that the Torah is renewed all the time is like the renewal of existence, of physical existence. And now that's already saying that the Torah is being renewed all the time.
So can I, what's Dalet Mem Ayin Bet?
The Maaseh Bereshit.
The Maaseh Bereshit.
Right. Of the work of creation. Now, in the same way it is in the Torah, shenetinasa, that the giving of the Torah, vahamshachosa, and the flowing down of the Torah, himeatzmus, comes from the essence, anochi. Right? When it says anochi at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, anochi Hashem Elokech, which we're going to be hearing on Shabbat with the help of God. Anochi, I, is actually higher than any name of God. God's names, there's Elohim, Yudke Vavke, Shein Dalad Yud, but Anochi, I, is a higher level. It's a higher level. And that higher level is the essence of the Torah, the essence of God, which gives the Torah, and it there's the Torah coming from God, but somehow or other, and the Torah, as it were, comes down into our world, like from the mountain, from our Mount Sinai, down into the world, and it becomes part of our daily world. But also, not only is the Torah given at a particular moment, which is described in the Chumash as taking place of 7 weeks after they left Egypt, there is also the idea that the Torah is continuously given flow from God. So the same way that the world is continually getting a flow from the essence of godliness, the Torah is continually getting a flow as well. And this works in a number of ways, which hopefully we will understand. So the original and the continual flow of the Torah is from the essence, Anochi, v'hamshachata me'atzmos, and the flowing of Torah from the essence, hi b'chol rega, is at every moment. It's a continuous process. And look at note 14. There's a striking phrase there, quoted from one of those earlier sources he mentioned in note 13. Shahatorah tzricha lehitchadesh tamid min ha'atzmut. Torah has to all the time be renewed from the essence of God. The essence of God is all the time renewing the Torah, and that is an important process. And then he proves this in a very, very interesting way. Kamo she'omrim, as we say, now, there is a bracha that is said when a person is called up to the Torah. And women also have the duty to say this bracha in the morning prayers in Birchot HaShachar, the blessings on the Torah. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, asher bachabonu mikol ha'amim, v'nosen lanu eser etzoy. Baruch atah Hashem. How's it going? Noisein ha'Torah. Now, noten ha'Torah. Noten ha'Torah is in which tense? Past or present? Noten?
Present.
Present, yes. It's in the present tense. So the bracha that we say on the Torah every morning, and also when someone is called up to the Torah, we're saying a blessing where we mention God is giving the Torah in the present tense. God is all the time giving the Torah. So there's a continuous relationship with Hashem that all the time this flow is taking place, as you see, similar to the flow that is giving existence to the world. Kamosha Amrim, as we say, Noisen HaTorah, Noten HaTorah, Lashon Hove, in the present. We say God gives the Torah in the phrasing of the blessing on the Torah. Shelachein Amru Razal, and that's why the sages are able to say, B'chol Yom, every single day, Yiyu Beinecha Chadoshim. The words of Torah should be new in your eyes. Not only as if they were new, but really new. Chadoshim mamash, words of Torah should be completely new. Now, the next page, I think if you go to the back of the pack, then you'll find it. It's page Vav. Vehine, now behold. Hakoach al zeh shebechol yom, the power for this, that every day, yiyu beinecha chadoshim, the Torah should be new. Nitan b'matan Torah, was given at the giving of the Torah. So at the giving of the Torah, there was this power of newness about the Torah, that it's all the time being given by Hashem, and for us it's all the time a new thing. Uchayadua, as is known, b'pelu shakatov, in explaining the verse, which came just before the word Anochi, Vayadab Elokim etz kol advarim ha'ele lema, God said all these things, saying. Now, there's a question about this verse, and it's a question on the last word, lema. What does it mean, saying? Now, very often we have verses in the Torah where it says, "Va'edaba Hashem el Moshe lemo." God said to Moshe, "Lemo say." And when someone is learning to translate the Chumash, you know, so they're just, oh, so what does lemo mean? Lemo means saying in English. I don't know how you do it in French. Disons. Yeah, something like that. What does it mean saying? God spoke to Moses. Why does it have to say saying? Well, go on.
Not for actually pronounce the words. It's like us when we pray. We can't just like say to ourselves in our head. We have to say.
Okay, that's very nice. So who is actually pronouncing the words? Is it God or Moshe? You're very close to the... God said it to Moshe that Moshe should say it. To who?
To us.
To us. Yes. God said the Torah to Moshe so that Moshe should tell us what the Torah teaching is. Moshe is inside the Ohel Moed, the Mishkan. He's hearing Torah teachings from God. And God tells him, this is what you should tell the Jewish people, Lemo saying, and then he goes out and he tells us. But you can't say that with Matan Torah. You can't explain the word Lemo in the same way. Because with Matan Torah, we were all there. It's one moment when we were all there together with Hashem, all hearing the words of Hashem. So what does the Lemo mean? Now, it's like what you said. It's Hashem say. The way, I'm not sure this... It's going to say it in the words here. Let's see it here. Shahapirush. So we're on the second line, four words before the end of the line. Shahapirush the tevas lemo. The explanation of the word lemo. But pasuk zeh in this verse, hu lo lemo la'achelim, is not to tell other people like it normally is. Kamo kol lemo shebemikra. Every word lemo in the Torah, normally God is telling Moshe or telling Aaron or telling both of them to say to everyone else. But in this case, you can't say that, shaharei neshamot kol Yisrael, because the souls, not to mention the body, of the whole Jewish people, hayu b'ma'amad ha-Sinai, were there together, standing at Mount Sinai, v'shamu ha-dibrot, and they heard the words of the Ten Commandments, or the first two Ten Commandments, Mehakadosh Baruch Hu Atzmo, from Hashem Himself. So what does the word Lemo mean? It must mean something else. Uperush Lemo. So the meaning of the word Lemo Kan, in this case, Hu Shebashat Matan Torah, is that at the time of the giving of the Torah, Niten HaKoach, there is given the power, L'chol echad v'achat mi'Yisrael, to every Jewish man and woman, shebechol adorot, through all generations, le'emor et kol hadvarim ha'ele, to say all these words, which doesn't only mean the Ten Commandments, shekai gam al kol ha'Torah kula, which applies to the entire Torah, shelimud ha'Torah shelo, that his or her learning of Torah, yeh be'ofen de lemo, should be in a way of lemo, of speaking. She'omer hadvarim, that he or she says the words, she'hakadosh baruch hu omer achshav, which God is saying now, k'moy b'shas matan Torah, like at the time of the giving of the Torah. So it's actually an incredible idea that whenever we are learning Torah and we're saying words of Torah, actually Hashem is saying those words with us at that moment, like at the giving of the Torah. Shelachein, and therefore the sages tell us, the Midrash says, 21 gives the Midrash, it's the Gemara in Brochus, Ma la lan, just as there it was be'ema uveyira uveretzes uvezeya, it was with awe and fear and trembling, afkan, so here too. So in other words, whenever we learn Torah, we should feel as if we are getting the Torah from Hashem at that moment, and Hashem is teaching us the Torah at that moment, and it's a most incredible thing. And the power to achieve that is from this word Le'emor at the beginning of Matan Torah, that Hashem is saying these words Le'emor so that we will be able to say these words with this sense of closeness to Hashem through all the generations. Va'al fi zeh, according to this, Mudgash od yoter is emphasized even more, Hashaychus, the connection, the inyan hischadshus, of the idea of renewal, continuous renewal, lematan Torah, to the giving of the Torah, kibun shahakoch al zeh, because the power to the idea sheyu beinecha chadashim, that words of Torah would always be new in our eyes, nitan b'matan Torah, was given to us at the giving of the Torah. So in other words, what we've had over here, it started off with a question: why doesn't the Torah begin with the idea that God took us, that God created heaven and earth, rather than speaking about taking us out of the land of Egypt? And it's amplified the question by emphasizing the similarity between the giving of the Torah and the process of creation. Now, it's going to continue on that similarity, because that similarity is very interesting. Later on in the discourse, it goes into an explanation of the answer to the question. But in a way, what I find particularly significant about this discourse is the question. And it's the question which it amplifies, because it's going to say that a question in Torah is also a reality. So the fact that the question is asked, in a way,
which
it's
question?
The question, why doesn't the Torah begin?
Yes,
that's right. So the fact that it doesn't, the fact that the question about why doesn't it say, I am Hashem your God who created heaven and earth at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, in a way it's as if it did say that. There is a shadow giving of the Torah where, in a sense, it does say that. The question gives it a reality. Do you understand? A question in Torah is also part of Torah. So we can look at the Ten Commandments with the idea that there is the idea of the creation of the world as well, because when we understand the continuous flow of Torah, like the continuous flow of the world, that helps us understand the nature of Torah. And so really what we are trying to explore at this moment is the deep nature of Torah, because what we're moving towards, not completely in this discourse, but in this other Sicha, talk from the Rebbe at another time, the same year, not the same year, a few years later, is the idea that we have that kol mash talmid vatik atid lechadesh, everything that a seasoned student of Torah will ever say as a new idea, every chidush, every new creative appreciation of Torah, kva nitan leMoshe beSinai, was already given to Moshe on Mount Sinai. So there's a sense in which the Torah is continuously being renewed, and all the many books of Torah scholarship where there is a new idea and a new discussion, and it might be a new gzeirah, a new takana, some kind of new aspect of application of Torah law, all that is part of the continuous flow of Torah going back to Mount Sinai. Ah, the fact that it's only revealed at that moment, so that is the way in which something which is very deep only comes to be revealed at a particular moment. But it's there going right back to the Torah. So when we learn Torah, we are really connecting with a stream going back to the very essence of God, which is continuously flowing. Okay, so Gimel, is everything okay so far? You following? Yeah? Gimel. Vehine al pi hayadua. According, behold, according to that which it's known, shagam she'ela b'torah hi Torah, that even a question in Torah is itself Torah, Torah emet, Torah of truth. So, a question has been asked in generations previously. Move on from this, we can understand the fact that it's brought in a number of discourses. That the beginning of the giving of the Torah, hayat tzarich liot bebriat shamayim va'aretz, should have been, could have been, with God creating heaven and earth, hugam aliba de'emet. In fact, one can see that as another dimension of the giving of the Torah.
What's aliba?
Aliba de'emet, following the truth, according to the truth. So, according to. It's not just a question from nowhere. It's a question because that the question itself has got truth in it. See, that's the difference between a genuine question in Torah and what might be a false question. Question.
How do you know which one is genuine and which one is false?
Well, it depends to a certain extent. It depends where the question is asked. So if you find the question asked in the Torah, for example, in the Gemara, if the Gemara discussing a particular issue asks a question, that question itself is worthy of study. Even if it's not the halakha, as you know, when you study Gemara, very often there's a deep and complicated discussion, and Rashi says this and Tosfot says that, about something which is not the halakha at all. But it's understood that even though it's not the halakha, and even if it's rejected eventually, nonetheless, it's got truth in it. It may not be the truth which leads to practical action, but it's still genuine. And because it's Torah, that genuineness is infinite. So there are infinite dimensions to explore. So here it's saying that the question also has truth in it, and therefore there is a reality in looking at the Torah in this way. The Nosaf Lezer. Now let's hear the Rebbe in the Maimah is bringing proofs about the significance of creation on various levels. The whole idea of creation and the way that we can see the idea of creation in the giving of Torah as well. Dunosaf lezeh, because in addition to the fact, shahatchalat kol haTorah, that the beginning of the entire Torah, hi bereshit bara elokim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz. So the very beginning of the Torah is about creation. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Now that's the written Torah. Then we look at the oral Torah. Now the oral Torah, there are different ways of understanding what is the oral Torah. There's the Mishnah, of course, and there's the Gemara, which begins, Me'emesai Kohen et Shema Ba'avin, from when do we say the Shema in the evening? But there's another very important recension, another very important addition of the oral Torah, which is the Rambam writing what's called Mishneh Torah, and that is his halachic work. V'chein haschalas Mishneh Torah la Rambam, the beginning of Mishneh Torah by the Rambam, it goes, as I mentioned before, the foundation of all foundations, the pillar of all wisdoms, is Leida Sheyesham Matsui Rishon, to know that there is a first existence, that's God. Vuhu Mamtzi Kol Nimtza, and this first existence, God, makes everything else exist. V'chol HaNimtzaim, and everything which does exist, in the heavens above, or the earth beneath, wherever it is, Lo nimtzu eile ma'amitas himotzo. Only exist because of the truth of God's existence. So therefore, that is the that concept of existence coming from the truth of God's existence is also there at the beginning of the Rambam. It's there at the beginning of the whole Torah. At the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and it's there at the beginning of the Rambam as well. Now, I just want to see where these brackets end. 1 second, we've got these square brackets. Yeah, it ends on line 21. 21 is the line 21.
20.
Yeah, that's where it ends. Now, in the brackets, it's a whole discussion about what it means that the all of existence comes from the essence of God's existence in the Rambam. And the point that he makes at the end is that the Rambam is writing this in a way of halakha. Now, the concept of halakha is a very, very interesting concept. You see, the Mishnah, the Chumash is written with verses, with psukim, and it's often very hard to understand the psukim, and sometimes what the verse says is not the way it's carried out in halakha at all. So, for example, it says, ayin tachat ayin, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Now, that is not the halakha. It doesn't mean that. It means financial compensation. It doesn't mean physically eye for an eye. And you need Torah Shebal Peh, you need the oral Torah in order to explain that and many, many other things. Everything, virtually, in the written Torah has to have the oral Torah explaining it. Now, in the oral Torah, you have the Mishnah and the Gemara. And the Mishnah and the Gemara discuss what the teaching is from the Torah. But what the halakha is not 100% clear in the Gemara itself, except to a very thorough scholar. Most people, when they learn the Gemara, they're not able to tell exactly what the halakha is. And so therefore, people like Rabbi Yitzhak Alfasi, the Rif, and later the Rambam, and later the other Poskim, they wrote books of halakha in order to clarify exactly what the halakha is and to put the halakha in clear order, so that when you look in the Rambam, you see an orderly progression, halachot about this, laws about this, laws about that, all collected together, and in the phrasing of halakha, this is the halakha. Now, in the Rambam's case, as in all these halachic writers, not necessarily is the halakha according to this opinion, because you have different opinions in the halakha as well. But they are stating the opinion as part of the halachic process. So the idea of stating it as a halakha is itself a very significant concept. So the Rambam is stating the idea that the world is an expression of God's continual input into the world. In Hasidic teachings, it's there as an inspiring Hasidic idea. The Rambam is writing that the world depends on godliness in a halachic context. So that's trying to summarize what it says in the brackets here. So we have the idea that the Chumash begins with the idea of creation, and the idea that the Rambam begins with the idea of creation. Hine nosaf lezeh, line 21. In addition to this, gam b'hatchala d'matan Torah, that also at the beginning of the giving of the Torah, yeshna inyan d'briyat shemayim v'aretz. We also have the idea of creation, of heaven and earth, in our question. The question is where we have the idea of creation. But this idea is in that part of Torah Shebal Peh, of the first pasuk of Matan Torah, the Torah Shebiktav, the explanation of Torah Shebiktav.
Can I ask, why is the creation of the world word in the Torah there in this part hidden in the question? Why doesn't it just say, I'm the Lord God who created heaven and the earth and took you out of Egypt? So there you've got the two.
Could have done both. Well, one reason might be that there is an exact number of letters in the Ten Commandments. So I think it's supposed to be 613 letters in the Ten Commandments. So that would have muddled everything up.
Surely you could have modified to accommodate it. They had some letters that can be words complete.
It's interesting.
Where is this? In which part of the Torah Shebal Peh, the Matan Torah, Yishno Briat Shamayim Va'aretz, is in the?
I think it means in the question that is here being asked. The question that we're asking, beginning with Ibn Ezra's commentary. That's the surround, that's the perush around the Torah Shebiktav, around the written Torah, and it's there that we have the idea of the question.
Briat Shamayim Va'aretz in Matan Torah.
Yeah.
But a specific question, why should it be expressed and felt and discussed as a question? I mean, it's sort of, it's almost like a ghost hanging around the, you know, it's like a bit abstract there. Because why doesn't the Torah just
say
state
it?
Yeah, why is it kept as a question?
Maybe in order to emphasize the fact that we went out of Egypt, and actually the connection is more us as a people getting the Torah more than the whole world being here. I mean, it's the emphasis of us getting the Torah, and the world is here for us, and, you know.
Chana's 100% right. In fact, that's how it goes on to answer the question and say, so why does it actually say, Asher tzeitich me'eretz Yitzrayim, it took you out of the land of Egypt, exactly as Chana says, in order to focus on us, the Jewish people, who are the ones who got out of Egypt and are receiving the Torah. So the focus is on the person, and that focus on the person is a tremendously vital thing. However, as a kind of overtone, you see, it's like when you play a musical note, so depending on what kind of instrument, there are extra tones which are there. So the question which is around it, the question which is asked within the Torah itself, that's like an overtone. So you've got, I'm God who took you out of the land of Egypt. So there's an overtone. I'm God who created heaven and earth. And so it's in the overtone that we are looking at the meaning of that.
Or maybe because the Yitzhak Mitzrayim was just a recent thing and people remember. And they completely forgot about Briat Olam. It just happened, it's at Mitzrayim, it was fresh in their minds.
Well, this is what Yehuda Alevi says. Yehuda Alevi, in his book Kuzari, he's answering a slightly different question. You know, the story of Kuzari is that there was the Khazar king, who was a king in South Russia, of the Khazar nation. And this king was a very spiritual person. And he had a dream. And someone says to him in the dream, your intentions are good, but your actions are not good. And he woke up and he was very disturbed by this. And he felt that it meant he has to change his way of life in some way. So what should he do? Maybe he should convert to one of the famous religions of his time. He had heard of Christianity and of Islam. Or maybe he should talk to a Greek philosopher. Maybe he should follow the philosophic path. So he invited a Christian and a Muslim and a Greek philosopher to come to his palace and to talk to him one by one, and they would talk to him about their path of life, and he's going to adopt one of their paths of life. So each of them start off by proving the existence of God. with logical proofs or different kinds of proofs. And also, incidentally, each of them also mentioned the Jew. He hadn't thought of inviting a Jew. But in the end, since each of them had mentioned a Jew, he had got the idea he's going to talk to a Jew as well. And he begins talking to the Jew, a Jewish sage. All this is in the book Kuzari by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, written about 1,000 years ago in Spain. So as he's talking to the Jew does not start off proving the existence of God. He said, why don't you start off by proving the existence of God? He says, we don't have to prove the existence of God. God took us out of Egypt. Like, we experience God. We got the Torah at Mount Sinai, was another experience of God. It's not like a theoretical thing. So this would follow what Eli is saying. You know, the giving of the Torah is basing itself on the immediate experience of everyone and bringing it home into reality. So that's another very good explanation why it starts off with going out of Egypt. And at the same time, you have the overtone of God as creator of heaven and earth, and the whole idea that that is telling us about the nature of Torah. Line 23. Ve'yesh ramah habir v'zeh, and one can suggest the explanation of this: that al yedei esek haTorah, that through studying Torah, but often in such a way, diyu beinecha chadashim, that the words of Torah are always new in one's eyes, megalim gam hachidush v'habriya, one also reveals what is remarkable about creation and existence. Shehi mitchadeshet b'chol rega, that the existence itself is renewed at every moment, me'ayin liyesh, from nothing to something. Now it gives here footnote 27. Let's have a look at this. Dechevan shechol ha'inyanim sheba'olam, since all things in the world Nimshachim inyanam b'Torah, they are drawn from what they are in Torah, as it says in the Zohar. That's in the brackets, gives a reference. Lachin, therefore, al yedei gilua inyan b'Torah, through revealing that idea in the Torah, nitgale gam ha'inyan b'olam, it is revealed also in the world, shemishtal shel mimenu, which chains down from the Torah. Existence comes from the Torah. So in other words, by realizing the renewal which is there in Torah, we are able to look at the world and see the renewal which is there in the world. Let's just finish this paragraph. Val pi hamuva le'el, and according to what we quoted above, the Tevat Lemo, that the word Lemo, saying, Shabahathalat Matan Torah, which is at the beginning of the giving of Torah, He anatinat koach, is giving the power, Al Yiyu Beinecha Chadashim, that these words of Torah should always be new in our eyes, Shal Yedei Zeh Megalim HaChidush Tabriya, and through this we reveal not only the newness of the Torah, but the newness of existence. Haresha b'hatchalat the matan Torah, that means at the beginning of the giving of the Torah, od lifnei aseret ha-dibrot, even before the Ten Commandments, just the first line, the introductory line, yesh b'remez al kol panim, there is in a hint, ha'inyan b'chidush ha-briya, there is the idea of the renewal of existence. Okay. Now, it then goes on in the discourse, in the Maimah, on the next page, to why it actually says, that I'm God who took you out of Egypt, and it is because it is focusing on us, the Jewish people, and the concept of Matan Torah, as this focus, this connection between God and the Jewish people. Tremendous empowerment that is taking place through that. However, what I'd like to do is just keep on this question, because I think that this is a, or this subject, because I think that it's a very, very fascinating idea, this renewal, this constant renewal of Torah all the time. So if we could look, see, it begins on page 506, but if we turn to page 507, now on page 507 you've got a little chet in the middle of the page, and see, this is in the middle of a discussion. The discussion that it's in the middle of is the idea that Talmidei Chachamim ein lahem menucha. These sages have no rest, not in this world and not in the other world. It's a passage from the Gemara in Brachot that tzaddikim do not have any rest, that even in the other world they're always going to higher and higher levels. So this is a siyum, actually. It's a siyum on Masechta Brachot and also Moed Katan. So it's a siyum on two Masechta at the same time, and it's a long discussion of a number of different concepts. But here, look at Chet. V'yuvan, we will understand this. Behektem abiyu bechlalot inyan achidush b'Torah. Considering the idea of saying something new when one is studying Torah. She'ikah inyan de'ein lahem menucha, because in fact this idea of Talmidei Chachamim and Tzadikim not having any rest really means iyun u'pilpul b'tameh alachot. It means discussion and pilpul and understanding the reason of the halachot, of the laws of the Torah, sha'al yedei zeh, through which yitchadshu chidushei halachot, they are able to bring out new perspectives of halacha and understanding of Torah, le'in keitz v'tachlit, without limit. Now, so in other words, Torah is growing all the time. The Torah is not a finite text. It is concepts which are then explored and discussed and explained, and more concepts emerge from the Torah in the different aspects of Torah thought. Mehabirurim b'maimar hazal, among the explanations of the saying of the sages, kol ma shetalmid vatik, anything that a seasoned scholar, atid l'chadesh, will in the future say as a new idea, hakol nitan l'Moshe b'Sinai, all was given to Moshe at Mount Sinai. Now, that is, it gives the reference, footnote 20, which we don't have over here, but it's actually in the Talmud Yerushalmi in Peah, and one or two other places as well. But the Talmud Yerushalmi Peah is the standard place where this statement is said. So, that's a very interesting idea. The Lechora, because at first sight, Inyan Shenitan Moshe Misinai, that which was given to Moshe at Mount Sinai, Eino Chidush Shel Talmid Vatik, surely this isn't the new thing that the scholar is going to be saying 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years later. Well, one way of understanding it, Shemoshe kibel b'Sinai klalim, Moshe received at Mount Sinai general principles, Shemehem ba'im kol ha'pratim, and from these general principles come all the details, Shemitchadshim al yedei talmid vatik, which are revealed, are said, creatively by the great scholars, b'chol adorot, through the generations, v'chivan sh'apchatim heim b'koach u'behelem, since the details were hidden, v'hitgalutam, and the revealing of these details, na'asit al yedei talmid vatik, comes through the scholar, the clever scholar, Shemit Yager BaTorah, who works at study of Torah, legalot et hapratim, to reveal the details, min ha'elem, from the concealment, v'akoach shebechlal, from the potential that was there in the general principle, harezeh chidush shel ha'talmid vatik. So you can call that a chidush of the later scholar. So you have the detail over here, and those details are somehow there in the klal, in the principle, which is up here, and in that principle there are many, many details, but the details are only revealed through the generations by successive scholars, great scholars, through the generations, each revealing chidushim, which in fact all go back to Mount Sinai. They all go back to that. I once read an article where a mathematician was trying to use the idea of a theorem and the applications of a theorem. So you can have a theorem in mathematics, and then that theorem can be applied in all kinds of different ways, or on the basis of that theorem, you can demonstrate all kinds of different qualities, which the original theorem just is the statement of the theorem. And so there, he was trying to say, the theorem is like the general principle that Moshe Rabbeinu has, and then comes the revealing of all the different applications of the theorem in the detail. Now then there's further ways. Let's go to the like the second paragraph on the column on page 507 in the second column. Nosaf, in addition to this idea, nosaf al apratim, to the details, shenidrashim, which are taught to mitgalim and are revealed mehaklal, from the general principle, al pi yudgimu midot shahatorah nidreshet behem. Remember, there are the 13 principles of explaining the Torah, which Rabbi Yishmael taught, and they are printed in the Siddur. These 13 principles of explanation of Torah. So they are klal uprat, kal v'chomer, gzera shava, all these different ways of expounding the Torah text.
And they were like tools of logic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which are used, they're actually used to connect the written Torah with the details of the oral Torah. And from them, you can see the oral Torah within the words of the written Torah. Now, Yeshnam, in addition to that, there are kame inyanim shenitchadshu mamash. There is a number of things which are completely new ideas, b'torah shebal peh, in the oral Torah, in the Talmud. V'rak, now, and only, now here is a phrase that you sometimes find in the Talmud, asmechua akcha. There is an idea which was connected with a verse, but it's not really connected to the verse. It's just the sages linked it to a verse in the Torah just to give it a kind of a comfortable resting place, but it doesn't really emerge from that verse. Kolelu b'myuchad, and especially hagzeirot, there are rabbinical decrees. Vahatakanot, there are rabbinical enactments that took place at a particular time. A certain event took place, and as a result of that event, they made a particular takana, and the takana continues for all time. So, the takana, the enactment, is an enactment, vahamin hagot, and custom. For example, muktzah on Shabbos. The idea of muktzah is a rabbinical enactment, or gzerah, a decree. It's not there in any verse. It is something which was an enactment that was made by the sages at a particular time, the concept of muktzah. She'inyanim elu, these things, lo hayu l'chora, at first sight it would seem they're not there, afilu ba'ofen shel klal, they're not even there in a principle, because they're a completely new thing. Right? So we would have to have a new color, an enactment. Yeah? enactment, right? So there's a completely new type of law. They're not. And nonetheless, nasim chelik ma Torah. They become part of Torah. It becomes sacred Torah. If you study Shulchan Aruch and you are exploring the way in which particular aspects of halakha are applied, many of which may be juggling this enactment, that enactment, together with a verse of the Torah. Lo rak sheyesh chiyuv lekayimam. Not only are we duty bound to keep them, Eilu sheim chelik ma Torah as well. They are themselves a part of Torah. So the enactment is something we have to do, and discussing the enactment is part of Torah as well. Now, this becomes shenitna, it becomes part of Torah shenitna l'Moshe b'Sinai. If we go on to page 508. Ulecha'ola. At first sight, Eich Yitachein, how can it be, Shanyanim Shenitchadshu Mamash, that ideas that were given as completely new ideas, Adidei Chachmei Yisrael, through Jewish sages, Heim Torah Shenitna B'Sinai, they are Torah given at Sinai. And so, V'od V'ikah, and further, especially, Eich Yitachen, how is it possible, Shalidei Chochmei Yisrael, that through Jewish sages, Yitosvu Inyanim Chadashim B'Torah, new ideas could be added to the Torah. Harei ze tosefet v'shinui. This is an addition. Hosafa v'shinui. This is an addition. This is a change. B'Torahto shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In God's Torah. V'yesh lomar, we're just going to read a few lines here. One can suggest, Habiyur Bezer, explaining this, a famous principle. HaTorah lo b'shamayim hi. The Torah is not in heaven. You probably remember the argument among the sages, where one rabbi said one thing and the other sages all disagreed with him. And then he said, let the river show that I'm right. And the river outside the Beit HaMedrash stopped flowing. And they said, it doesn't count. The halakha follows the chachamim, the majority, and we all say different to you. And then he said, let the walls of the Beit HaMidrash show that I'm right. And the walls of the study house began curving in. And they still wouldn't accept. Then he said, let God himself say that I'm right. And a voice from heaven said, he's right. And the sages said, Lo b'shamayim hi, it's not in heaven. So that's the concept here. It's not in heaven. Eile nitna lebalutam shel Yisrael, the Torah is given to the Jewish people. Sheposkim dinei Torah, who decide the laws of Torah, al pi hachra'at sichlam, according to their understanding in their mind. Kedat harob, according to the majority opinion, as in that discussion. V'lachein, and therefore, ein mashkichim bebat kol, we don't take any notice of heavenly voices. We follow the halacha. V'ad shekud shebericho, now it says, someone met Elijah, Eliyahu Navi, and he said to him, what did God do at that moment when they said, lo b'shamayim hi? He said, Hashem smiled and said, Nitzchuni banai nitzchuni. My children have conquered me. So that's what it's quoting here. Kudsha berichu, God kochiech, he smiled, va'aman, he said, Nitzchuni banai nitzchuni, my children conquered me. V'lo'od, and in fact, Eilu shegam einyanim shemitchadshim al yidei chachmei Yisrael, these things which are renewed or enacted by the sages become Torah itself. And that is because of the special quality of the Jewish people. In fact, although it doesn't do that here, we could connect this to the fact that it says at the giving of the Torah, I am God who took you out of the land of Egypt, because that is emphasizing the special relationship of the Jewish people with Hashem. And it's because they have that special relationship with Hashem, therefore they have the power to make a discovery or an enactment in the Torah, which then becomes part of Torah given to Moshe at Mount Sinai. All right, well, I think that that's a very, personally, I think that's a very, very significant concept in order to understand the whole significance of Torah going back through the generations, and that the decisions of halachic sages of our own time, including Rav Moshe Feinstein, other great rabbonim, they make a decision about this or about that, that becomes part of Torah. And the way in which this is part of the infinite quality of Torah. So, Bezrat Hashem, that is a preparation for hearing the Ten Commandments on Shabbat in the Beit HaKnesset.
So where does the enactment come from in terms